I'm Kevin Cirilli, Chief Washington Correspondent for Bloomberg Television and for Bloomberg Radio. We begin tonight with the Georgia special runoff elections, and we've got sound on this topic in particular coming from President Trump, who spoke in Dalton, Georgia on Monday evening to stump for the state's two current Republican senators, Senators Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Here he is.
If you don't show up, the radical Democrats will win. A lot of people say, oh, well, Trump, maybe he wants it that way. No. You know what I want? I want a great country. I want these two very special people to be elected.
Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden was in Atlanta on Monday, and he was stumping for Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, the two Democratic Senate candidates. The state's runoff election now very much underway, with more than 3 million Georgians already having voted. Here's President-elect Joe Biden.
You have two senators who think their loyalty is to Trump, not to Georgia. You have two senators who think they've sworn an oath to Donald Trump, not to the United States Constitution.
Jeannie Zeno is an Iona College professor and a Bloomberg Politics contributor, and she joins us from our New York radio studio. And A.B. Stoddard is an associate editor at Real Clear Politics, and she joins us from the DMV region. A.B., I'll start with you. Is President Trump a political asset or a liability to the Republicans running for re-election?
I think it's been a very tough campaign for Senators Loeffler and Perdue in Georgia as the president continues to give them perfunctory support in tweets and these two rallies, but really mostly talk about how the whole election there on November 3rd that he didn't win was rigged and corrupted, and bashing the Secretary of State and the governor repeatedly and promising to primary the governor and campaign against him. It's very difficult because the people who are kind of regular Republican voters in Georgia, who maybe they didn't want to vote for Trump, they voted for Biden, were certainly going to, I think, turn out to try to keep a Senate majority for the Republicans and vote for these two incumbent senators. But it is the Trump-supporting non-traditional Republicans who were getting very mixed signals from him all along, and we could really see a drop in turnout from them between November 3rd and now.
And Jeannie Zeno, I think that's what AB just mentioned about the mixed political signals coming from the Republican Party right now is spot on, because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his political apparatus have poured millions of dollars into the Peach State. But at the same time, there does seem, based upon the conversations that I have with Republican sources who work in the Senate, who work at the White House, to be an uneasiness amongst the whole entire party right now. And my question to you, Jeannie, is does that uneasiness benefit Democrats?
You know, I think that's the big question. I don't think we know yet. And I would agree with AB and your assessment. And I think part of this is that what the president has done is he has robbed Senators Loeffler and Senator Perdue of their strongest argument, which is that we need to stay in the Senate to ensure that Democrats don't control Washington. That's a very, very strong argument for many moderate Republicans and certainly conservative Republicans. But they've been stripped of the ability to, really make that robustly, because they're also trying to walk this line where they say, well, President Trump was robbed of the election, so it's not actually President-elect Joe Biden, but potentially President Trump continuing. So in some ways, he's put them in a very, very awkward position to be able to make this really important claim. And I think we're going to have to wait to see how this pans out. One thing I would also add to this is that when we talk to voters and we talk to people on the ground in Georgia, they say the national media's focus on Donald Trump is overblown in terms of its impact on voters' decisions, that most people obviously voted early, over 3 million, and most people made up their minds well before anything that's happened in terms of a call or anything else in the last several days. So I think there's also that component of it, which raises this question again, how do people take in all of this information? And do supporters respond to the election by going out and voting or staying home?
It's so incredibly important. So incredibly important. And the assessment of how voters changing ways to consume information and that trend really over the past 5 years, I would argue, has been riveting to watch. So much at stake in the state of Georgia and what we can glean from a clarity perspective as to what's coming. We should be able to get some type of a result. According to Georgia election officials, it could take up to 3 days in order to get any type of a finalized result. We could also get it before then. But I would note the importance of the gavel ship and who has the power of the gavel. A.B. Stoddard, as you know, in terms of all of the committee structure, should Democrats win these seats, because Vice President-elect Kamala Harris is a Democrat, the Democrats will have the power of the gavel. They will be able to set the agenda from the Senate Banking Committee, for example. And a Chairman Sherrod Brown is very different than a Chairman Pat Toomey. What's at stake from a policy standpoint in the Senate tonight, AB?
Well, I don't see a big stake in a policy agenda for the Democrats by winning a 50-50 Senate. It's very important to them to hold the Senate, and I understand that, and they want to be in the majority, and they want to put Mitch McConnell back into minority status as a leader, and they want to control the committees, and they want to approve justices, and I understand that. But they're not going to get rid of the legislative filibuster, and so they're not going to get a bold climate bill passed. No free college, no public option, a huge voting rights bill. These are not going to happen, even if they win both seats tonight. And so the idea that it's going to produce some kind of breakthrough for them on anything beyond sort of COVID relief maybe some stabilization of the Affordable Care Act is really a fantasy, given the margins in the House and what they'll be dealing with in the Senate. Their own members do not approve of radical changes like the legislative getting rid of the legislative filibuster. So it's really, you've got Mark Kelly in the McCain seat that Martha McSally lost. He's up again in 2 years. He's not going to be doing anything radical. And Joe Biden is an institutionalist. He's opposed to that anyway. So how do you get big bills through? You don't. We're looking at the possibility of a narrow DACA fix. Like I said, maybe some prescription drug bipartisan legislation that Senator Grassley and Senator Wyden have worked on. But Sherrod Brown's banking committee agenda, no way.
Right. No, I mean, and that's so incredibly important. And so I think what we just got there from A.B. Stoddard, Jeannie, is that in terms of concrete policy advancements, no way, no how, not going to happen. But in terms of the cable news cycle and the fodder that comes with being able to control a committee and to get committee meetings and hearings up and running, that's where the power of the cameras comes in, Jeannie Zano, and that really is what's at stake tonight.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, it's certainly important to, you know, even narrowly be in the majority, have the control of the rules, be able to have your chairpersons in place. That's all critically important. But in a very, very sort of odd way, if the Democrats take this narrowly, and that's a big if, of course, if they take both of these Senate seats today or in the next 3 days, as you mentioned, it also puts Joe Biden in a difficult position that very few people are talking about, which is that they raise Democratic expectations on all of those bills and all of those policies that AB was just talking about that are going to be really, really almost impossible for Democrats to pass. They just don't have the support. So in an odd way, winning these two seats, while certainly all Democrats want that, puts the administration in a position of then having to deal with its own caucus that's going to be incredibly demanding, whether they win or lose, but certainly raising expectations if they win these two seats. Certainly, I'm not saying Democrats don't want to win,
right.
It is, in an odd way, a position that many executives, and you ask Andrew Cuomo, the governor from New York, he almost had a better chance of getting what he wanted done with opponents in the Senate than he did with Democrats pushing him to the left, or he does with Democrats pushing him to the left now. So it is a precarious position either way for a Biden administration coming in, because it's going to be very, very narrow if they take it.
Fascinating, fascinating. And Jeannie Zano is with me, Iona College professor and Bloomberg Politics contributor, as is A.B. Stoddard, an associate editor at Real Clear Politics. Diving into my Bloomberg Terminal, reading Ryan Teague's Beckwith's reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal, two Republican Senate candidates called for more GOP voters to turn out Tuesday. A Georgia elections official says voting is going, quote, smoothly, end quote. And Wall Street is keeping a close eye on the Senate runoff races in Georgia. In an unusual joint statement, this is interesting. In an unusual joint statement, Republican Senate candidates Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue called on Republican voters in Georgia to turn out Tuesday, just hours before the polls closed, after noting that they were, quote, encouraged by reports of high voter turnout across the state, end quote. The two candidates then pivoted to urge more Republicans to show up at the polling places. It's unusual. It stands out. The fact that you now have the parties running with each other and as a joint ticket in which the Republicans have tried to nationalize this Georgia race while the Democrats have taken, albeit a slightly different strategy, and tried to localize this Georgia race. Riveting political junkie fodder that, of course, two of the best in the biz, Jeannie Zano and A.B. Stoddard, are just like me and fascinated by every single twist and turn. Coming up, a full, complete preview of the election certification. What's the process? What do you have to look out for tomorrow? That's what we'll hit next. I'm Kevin Cirilli, Chief Washington Correspondent for Bloomberg TV and Radio. This is Bloomberg.
You're listening to Bloomberg Sound On with Kevin Cirilli on Bloomberg Radio.
My name is Kevin Cirilli. I'm the Chief Washington Correspondent for Bloomberg Television and for Bloomberg Radio. We've got special radio and television continuing coverage of the Georgia runoff election, led, of course, by our very own David Westin. And that is set to begin 7 p.m. New York time. And you can listen to that right here on Bloomberg Radio. But we've got to give a preview of what's coming tomorrow, which is the certification of the Electoral College. And it's shaping up to be, as A.B. Stoddard wrote about it in her column out today on Real Clear Politics, as, quote, the final episode of the Trump show, a made-for-television day in which the president will delight in watching his defenders attempt to subvert millions of votes cast legally in a free and fair election, end quote. We're going to ask A.B. Stoddard, an associate editor at Real Clear Politics, for more on this. But first, I want to play what President Trump had to say last evening in Dalton, Georgia, about the Electoral College challenge. Here he is.
I want to thank Senator Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and all of the incredible senators that have stepped up to fight because they've seen what happens. They know it's a fraud.
Jeannie Zano is with me as well, Iona College professor and Bloomberg Politics contributor. AB, I'll start with you as we go specifically into the historic element of what tomorrow will be and what it will represent. And from an analytical perspective, how significant is tomorrow's event at 1 p.m. Eastern when it kicks off in a joint session of Congress for America's democracy?
Well, that's a really important question, Kevin. I think that this entire Trump presidency has been quite a civics lesson for Americans of all ages and every region. To watch a man really test the boundaries of the constitutional order, from the way he treated the judiciary to the way he treated the Congress and the way that the people in his party responded. Voters who are fervent supporters of the president, there's a poll out this afternoon, think his call with the Secretary of State of Georgia over the weekend was just great. I'm sorry to laugh, but in which he asked him to locate, to just come up with, you know, 11,700 and whatever votes for him, to push him over the top and change the results of an election. So the idea that the Congress would take away the power of the states to run their own elections by objecting to what were undisputed counts. So it's important for people to know that what happens tomorrow would normally just be perfunctory and ceremonial and should be, because there's not one state where there has been a dispute. And so these undisputed results just come through the Congress and get read and tallied, and that's it. It's over. The states, what happened on December 14th, was that was the act. That was ball game, and it's over. And so unless there was a dispute for which people to make hay over, it's supposed to be a nothing day. The idea that that people are pretending that that Congress has a role over this mysterious voter fraud that no judge has A, seen evidence of, or B, ruled was real and tipped the outcome of any of the elections in the swing states is nuts. I mean, the fact that we're here is just nuts. That this has become a political litmus test vote and a loyalty vote for Trump Republicans. It is very much a legacy vote for every single member, but for the Republicans, who will have to know that if they do this and they defy their oath to the Constitution, it will follow them the rest of their careers.
I've got a copy online, of course, of the 12th Amendment from the United States Constitution, Jeannie Zeno, and in which it states, quote, "The President of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted." Emphasis mine on counted, Jeannie Zeno, but the President of the Senate, of course, is Vice President Mike Pence. And there's been much fodder being pushed amongst Republican strategists, typically that we in the media only talk to in the lead up to the Iowa caucus, right now, about the pressure that they are arguing Vice President Pence is under. But the Constitution is quite clear. The only role for Vice President Mike Pence, Jeannie Zeno, tomorrow evening, most likely, or in the early morning hours of Thursday, is to count the votes, not to interpret the votes, but to count, Jeannie Zeno, the votes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably all agree Mike Pence is in a horrible, horrible position at this point, given what the president had to say about him in Dalton, Georgia yesterday, and then tweeting today, really overstating and making me scratch my head and wonder what the president expects the vice president to do. But as you mentioned, the 12th Amendment, nothing in the Constitution is clear, but the 12th Amendment, the wording says that the vice president is going to play a ceremonial role. He has no real power, and I think the New York Times, making the case that this is similar to somebody opening the envelope at the Oscars. They don't determine who won best film. They simply report who won best film. And that's what Mike Pence is supposed to be doing tomorrow night. And, you know, we think he will be doing that. But he is getting a lot of pressure publicly from the president in the last 48 hours.
And I've got the transcript right in front of me. He said last night, quote, "The vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors," end quote. Coming up, we're going to talk much more about this. We've even got some sound on from what some of the Republican senators were saying. Jeannie stays with me. AB stays with me. We head on down to Georgia with Congressman Hank Johnson. I'm Kevin Cirilli. This is Bloomberg. We are all awaiting what happens in Georgia. So let's head there right now and check in with Congressman Hank Johnson, who is a Democrat representing Georgia and representing Georgia's 4th congressional district, as he has done since 2007. Congressman Johnson, thank you for joining us. What have you noticed on the ground in your district, which is suburban Atlanta? What have you noticed about turnout today?
Well, turnout seems to be steady, and it seems to be not very many lines around the state, although in some places there are lines. I believe that there has been a significant early vote turnout that should favor Democrats. And all of the pundits believe that the last day voting, which is taking place today, will probably tilt towards the Republicans. But I think all agree that we're heading for a very close race. It's a race that will be decided on the razor's edge. It's almost a toss-up at this point.
What are you hearing? What are state? what are state officials, Congressman Johnson, telling you about when we would have a final result?
Well, I heard a very optimistic statement about perhaps tomorrow morning we will know the results. But I think it's in an abundance of caution. I'm prepared, and I think we should have people to expect that it may take a little longer than that. Maybe Thursday or Friday we may learn the victor. This race is going to be razor close, and all of the votes will have to be tallied, and I don't think that will happen before Thursday.
Meanwhile, Congressman Hank Johnson is with us. The question that I keep hearing here in Washington, D.C., is whether or not this is a national election or a state election. And I say this because President Trump and Republicans have arguably tried to run this as a more national referendum type of an election to keep control of the Senate. Are Georgians voting as a repudiation or support of the current status quo executive branch, or are they voting on issues that we and the national media are not talking about?
Well, Georgia turned blue on November 3rd. Voters made that decision as far as a referendum on the Trump presidency. Now they're looking at issues of health care, jobs, justice. We've had a season of politics, and the pandemic has overwhelmed, along with protests. And so people want to see some results in Georgia that affect their bottom line. This economic turmoil caused by the mishandling of the pandemic has to end. The two candidates, the two Democratic candidates, will be partners for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as they bring in a new agenda that will build this economy back better, put our people back to work in good-paying jobs, send our children back to school. Those are the issues that send children back to school safely. That's the issue. Those are the issues that people are concerned about with this election today.
Let's return to the House of Representatives for a second, of course, where you obviously serve. Democrats' majority has decreased in this new Congress. What do you think that, how will that influence the Democratic Party moving forward?
Well, when you look at Georgia, the number of Democrats sent back to the House of Representatives increased. We picked up one Republican seat in Georgia. And so Georgia is clearly on the vanguard of the new South. It's a coalition of black voters, Asian and Latino voters, young voters, along with forward-thinking white people who are moving our state forward. And it's a new day for Georgia. No longer are we dealing with the racist past that suppressed votes,
but
deprived
even,
people of their rights.
But and, outside of Georgia, and I have to interject here, outside of Georgia, Democrats have lost seats overall in the House of Representatives. Is that going to make Speaker Pelosi's policy initiatives less effective in order for her to achieve her political objectives?
Well, when voters go to the polls today and elect these two Democratic senators to replace the Republican ones, we'll have a opportunity to really usher in a new agenda for America. And I think the people are yearning for change. They're tired of the gridlock that Mitch McConnell represents in the Senate. They want the House and the Senate to work together, and they want to move this country forward.
Congressman,
and that's what got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected on November 3rd.
Congressman Hank Johnson's with us. He's a Democrat from Georgia. I want to ask you about the subcommittee in which you are a chairman. You are the chairman of the Judiciary Subcommittee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and the Internet, specifically as it relates to guarding U.S. intellectual property against China. What is first and foremost on your agenda for that topic?
Well, we're going to make sure that our patent system is working as efficiently and effectively as it needs to be. We'll be making sure that our trademark laws and our copyright laws are protective of the property interest of the creators. And we must have a strong patent and copyright system in this country to protect innovation and to incentivize innovation and new development and keep us on the cutting edge of the world in terms of new products and new services. And I believe that our country has held that position based on our system of protections of intellectual property, and we'll continue to safeguard, we'll continue to have policies and laws in place which safeguard the property rights of creators.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Congressman Hank Johnson, a Democrat from Georgia's 4th Congressional District, suburban Atlanta, thank you so much for making time for us on what I know is a very busy day for all Georgia lawmakers. Coming up, we check back in with the panel for reaction. And again, what will happen tomorrow in the joint session of Congress? A complete preview. I'm Kevin Cirilli, Chief Washington Correspondent for Bloomberg Television and for Bloomberg Radio. And this is Bloomberg.
This is Bloomberg Sound On with Kevin Cirilli on Bloomberg Radio.
My name is Kevin Cirilli. I'm the Chief Washington Correspondent for Bloomberg Television and for Bloomberg Radio. Keep it right here for continued coverage of the Georgia runoff elections at 7 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Jeannie Zeno, Iona College professor and Bloomberg Politics contributor, is going to be with us all evening as we all try to glean information from the results of the Georgia runoff elections, which we might get tonight. But Congressman Hank Johnson just told us, Democrat from Georgia's 4th Congressional District, that we might have to wait up until 3 days. A.B. Stoddard's also with me, associate editor at Real Clear Politics. President Trump just tweeting out, A.B., quote, "I will be speaking at the Save America rally tomorrow on the Ellipse at 11 a.m. Eastern. Arrive early. Doors open at 7 Eastern. Big crowds." So as you put it in your column, A.B., the grand finale tomorrow. But I want to ask you a question, because you know the dynamics of the Republican Party, I would argue, better than anyone in Washington, D.C., A.B. Stoddard. And I still think, when I have conversations with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's political orbit, that the Election Assistance Commission to study election integrity, which is what the leader has put out, juxtaposed the other week with the $2,000 stimulus checks, but the Election Assistance Commission is something that millions of American voters would like studied. And so is it a mistake to write off a study of election integrity, A.B. Stoddard?
No, it's not. I really am for any effort to clarify what happened and to really educate people on the basic facts that there is fraud in every election, and it has not risen to the level of any kind of definition of substantial where it would affect the outcome of any of the counts in the swing states. Felons and dead people vote in elections just like they did in 2016 for President Trump. And not one of the cases that went before many judges, several of whom were appointed by President Trump, not one case was made that any of these sometimes the judges would say, not only have you not presented evidence, you haven't presented allegations. So a study that would actually explain this to the American people would be enormously helpful, in my view. The problem is that and you referenced this before, whatever news source they are consulting, whatever pollution they're inhaling on Facebook, has really, and obviously aided and abetted by President Trump, flat out lying, has made people believe something entirely different, that this is not, that there is a deep state, that it involves Bill Barr, that has shut President Trump out of this election. And so they don't want to hear about anything short of this all, of a miracle happening tomorrow. The more scary recent President Trump tweet from 5:12 p.m. is that he hopes the Democrats, and more importantly, the weak and effective rhino section of the Republican Party, are looking at the thousands of people pouring into D.C., and they won't stand for a, quote, landslide election victory to be stolen. And he tagged Senate Majority Leader Senator John Cornyn and Senator John Thune, a direct threat to them, and really raising the specter of violence tomorrow. It's incredibly frightening. He is not telling people that a study will make this all clear in the months to come.
Well, we've got sound on
that something happened tomorrow.
We've got sound on this topic from Senator Ron Johnson, who spoke. He's a Republican from Wisconsin, and he spoke earlier about, well, let's just play it. Here's what he had to say. Here's Senator Ron Johnson.
There are many irregularities that we've been looking into. Some, you know, some have been explained, but some haven't. State legislatures are empowered by the Constitution to set the time, manner, and place of elections. And yet many state legislatures abdicated to unelected judges, unelected election officials.
Jeannie Zeno, you hear that from a prominent member of the Republican Party, a chairman of a committee, and you contrast it with former House Speaker Paul Ryan's statement, in which he said, quote, reading from his statement to the New York Times, quote, efforts to reject the votes of the Electoral College and sow doubt about Joe Biden's victory strike at the foundation of our republic. It is difficult to conceive of a more anti-democratic and anti-conservative act than a federal intervention to overturn the results of state-certified elections and disenfranchise millions of Americans. The fact that this effort will fail does not mean it will not do significant damage to American democracy. As a reporter, Jeannie Zeno, there is soul-searching that we are chronicling happening within the Republican Party, as just illustrated by Chairman Johnson and the former speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to build on what Paul Ryan had to say, let's keep in mind what's happening here. We are hearing now, and this is not substantiated yet, but we heard today Ted Cruz may object to the Arizona results, Josh Hawley, Pennsylvania, and Kelly Loeffler, Georgia. Those three states, Arizona, totally a Republican state, Republican governor, Senate, and House. Similarly, Georgia, Republican governor, Senate, and House. And Pennsylvania, Democratic governor, but a Republican Senate and House. So what these three senators are doing, and joined by their colleagues, is they are objecting to a state's entire slate of electors. That has seldom happened. I think only one time since the Election Control Act of 1887 has that happened. And they are objecting to the results of state-certified votes by their own party. And so this is a mind-boggling turn of events. And what's so frustrating to me as a political scientist is that they haven't spent an iota of time on something much more important when it comes to election integrity, and that is Congress doing its job and reinstating the Voting Rights Act that was overturned in the Shelby decision by the Supreme Court. And I think properly so, because Congress had abdicated its responsibility there. So it's, you know, frustrating to me to hear them so focused on this now for political gain, when we've had years without a Voting Rights Act reinstated, when it should have been by many of the very same people who are now objecting.
Jeannie Zeno is with us, a political scientist at Iona College and a Bloomberg contributor. A.B. Stoddard also with us. We are carefully monitoring, of course, the Georgia runoff election, where polls are set to close in 66 minutes, T-minus 66 minutes for the final polls to close. You mentioned Senator Kelly Loeffler going to be speaking likely tomorrow, objecting to Georgia. And the process, folks, for how this plays out, just from a purely procedural standpoint, 1 p.m. Eastern time is when all of this will begin, and then you will have senators as well as House members raise concerns about a specific state. The states are gone through one by one in alphabetical order. In order for there to be a two-hour debate on a specific state and then a vote on those specific Electoral College votes, it has to be brought forward by both a senator and a House member. If that happens, then it goes to 2 hours of debate and then the final vote. That is why political economy or political scientists and reporters are saying there is virtually no chance of the results being overturned, because Democrats control the House of Representatives and Republicans control the Senate. I say this to bring it back to something that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell brought forward, Jeannie, and that is this issue of the Election Commission's investigation and for there to be some type of procedure. All three of us have covered Leader McConnell in different capacities over the years, but he is a process-oriented lawmaker. He prefers there to be a process. And so whether it's Senate Homeland Security Committee Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations chaired by Ron Johnson, but for Leader McConnell to come out and say there should be an Elections Assistance Commission, he is hearing the millions of Republicans who are tasked with having to read both hard news and fake news, for lack of a better term, and interpret it, and the mistrust that exists in the electorate on both sides of the aisle right now is palpable. So same question to you, Jeannie, in the less than 30 seconds I have left. Is it a mistake to write off those millions of Americans who are wanting there to be a concrete answer so that they feel confident when they cast their ballot that it counts?
Absolutely. It is very important to listen to them and to do it in a way. I think Mitch McConnell is right. You should set up the commission. You should fully investigate whatever claims there are. I think we have to be clear. Mitch McConnell is also trying to give his own members an out. One thing that makes him a good leader, as well as Nancy Pelosi, you know, on both the left and the right, is that they don't put their members up for votes that have no chance of passing and simply put them in political hot water. That's what is going to happen at tomorrow as a result of what Hawley, Cruz, and Loeffler are doing. And he would like to have avoided that because he understands that in 2022, many of these same members will be up for re-election or election, and he doesn't want them to have to make a vote that puts them either on the opposite side of Trump or with him. And so he'd like to save that. The commission, the committee is fine. It makes sense. But you don't tie it together with a vote that makes no sense and has no chance of going forward.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you to Jeannie Zeno. Thank you to A.B. Stoddard. Coming up this week, we've got we've got Michael Steele and Governor Chris Christie. So a jam-packed lineup. Remember, you can continue to listen to our special coverage of the Georgia runoff election right here at 7 p.m. New York time. This was a great show. Thank you to Jeannie and to A.B. Stoddard. I feel like it's America's Town Meeting of the Year. I said it yesterday. I think it bears repeating. America's Town Meeting of the Year. We need to return to that. I'm Kevin Cirilli. This is Bloomberg.